Welcome into This Week in Missouri Politics. Midweek update. The updates are so busy. There's just no way not to do a midweek update. You can't wait till Sunday, so we bring you Missouri Politics right to you. You're coming from the world headquarters in beautiful downtown Jefferson City right here on High Street. Thank you very much for watching this show, reading the Missouri Times, and very grateful to have all of you. So, obviously, the big news of the week come down yesterday. Holy cow. Greitens' lawyers, the doggonest thing. I actually, if you'll remember, I predicted this. I looked into the stein of knowledge and made my prediction that Greitens would attempt to tell the House they can't do a report on him. And I think that came to pass. So, Greitens' lawyer, the criminal defense lawyer he faced in St. Louis, some Washington lawyer, I don't know who that is, and then the general counsel for the state of Missouri that I guess works for you sometimes, I don't know, the one they said was not doing anything on his criminal defense, was all on government work, the one that called Al Watkins that day, they sent a letter to the House saying, don't release the report. Did I not say, I call it the most Eric Greitens thing that you could do in this situation would be to tell the House you can't release a report on me. And by God, just like your old hillbilly pal predicted, Eric Greitens told the House you can't release a report on me. Right on schedule. I don't know. I mean, here it is. The stein of all knowledge. I look into it. I make these predictions. And sometimes, well, in this situation where Eric Greitens get it every time, spot on, some bunch of start doing a book on this, you could take my picks and you would be rich. Look, I respect the balls of the ask. I mean, it is an impressive thing to say, hey, you don't do a report on me till this is over, till you're out of session. It would be the most preposterous thing in the history of three separate branches if they said, okay, we'll wait to release our report on you until we're out of session, which would be the time his trial, if his trial even is that day. Their whole play, as I've told you before, the play here is they think they can get a win in court. They don't have good options, so they take the options they have. So they're trying to get a win in court, and in doing so, they're trying to. Then they think they can get some momentum. I mean, I'm telling you, if you get inside the basement there, Biden still thinks he'll be president. And the people that talk to me are flabbergasted every day by the fact that he always assumes he's got it under control. There's no problem. Nothing to see here. Everything's fine. So. That's their thing is right now they're like, hey, we're good. We're broadcasting also, you should know, on Facebook and Twitter, so it's why the multiple camera moves. We're working to get the situation in better stead, but for now that's what we got. So, I respect him for asking. It's a heck of a thing to just say, hey, we're gonna, you know, don't do a report on me until you're gone. I think last year what was the video he made where he's like, I'm telling all the corrupt career politicians to get back to work, canceling your vacations, you're getting back to work. Yeah, this year he'll be the happiest person in Cole County to see them leave. He'll be thrilled. It's like you don't even know all the people that live here, they're called townies. They're all thrilled for the legislature to leave. No townie will be more thrilled than Eric Greitens to see the legislature leave. So we'll see. But if the House were to do this, it would clearly just be the end of any semblance of an independent branch of government. I would say there's a chance, sure, but I mean, I can't imagine how you actually, I don't even think at that point you pretend it's that you've got, oh, we lost Facebook. Hold on, guys. Rachel, can you?
Yeah.
Bring us back here. Sorry. Always appreciate you guys for sticking with us on stuff.
Okay, why are you doing that?
Because it doesn't need to be Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Appreciate Rachel here helping us with the technical difficulties for our Facebook friends. We'll be back in 1 second, and it looks like, just skipped that part, the vaunted Rachel Herndon here helping us make sure the stream is good. Just hit that button there. Okay, just and we're back, good to go. Welcome back, Facebook. Sorry, a little technical issue here at the world headquarters. You got to see the full remnants of the world headquarters there. And now you hear Rachel laughing in the background. So now we'll go back, just to wrap it up. Yeah, it was a heck of a deal. Who would have thought? But one House member did come out this week. Paul Kirkman is running for state auditor. He came out with some, I don't know what the Sentinel is. I think that it's like a website for a consultants group. I don't know. But they come out and they said, he said that the prosecutor should be disbarred for filing the charges. I mean, look, here's the real problem with the whole Eric Greitens thing, is it takes people, mostly all Republicans, and puts them in terrible spots. Yes, does this look like a desperate play for some dark money? Of course it does. Does anybody really believe the prosecuting attorney is going to get disbarred for filing charges? Of course not. But, I mean, I think it was like, hey, look at me, remember me when you dole out dark money. Paul's a good guy, but he's in like a 14-1 money disadvantage in a race that is not going to, I mean, right now, we would be talking about on this particular thing, probably some stuff to do with the state auditor's race, but we won't be talking about it because of all this other stuff. I mean, there's just too many things going on to really talk about the state auditor's race. So when you have a race that's kind of taken in by a Senate race, taken in by a scandal like this, you need to try to get some attention. I think it got more eye rolls than attention. Look, I have always told you in the end, there's three questions here. There's three questions. Did you take the picture? And Vic Faust asked him, Mark Reardon asked him, Summer Ballantyne and David Leib asked him until he almost cried, did you take a picture of this woman naked without her consent? He would never answer the question. So somebody, did you take the picture? His lawyer said, we'll decide whether we took the picture or not at trial. That's all fine, but it's hard to be governor and have those things happening. Number two, did you take the fundraising list? And number three, did you hit a person? And if you did those things, I don't know how you get around it. They need it to be very complicated, but really it's very, very simple. And I don't know why. Here's the thing I think I'll testify tomorrow. My prediction, when I look down into the stein of knowledge and as I drink from it, it's my prediction that he will testify, because why not? He's an affable guy. He probably doesn't actually answer their questions, but he'll sit in there and he'll evade them. And, you know, Barnes will be the toughest person he's taking questions from, probably. That's a testament to Jay, not so much a knock on anybody else. But in my thought would be he'll go in there, he'll testify, and it'll be, we'll see what happens. My prediction would be to you that he probably gives them probably about like the interview. Not the radio or TV one, but the one with David Leib and Summer Ballantyne. It probably will sound a lot like that, with his lawyer interjecting in, and he could say he testified. There is, I mean, I think word. I don't think it's a secret in the rotunda. There's one member of the committee who is ardently pro-Greitens. Probably it appears as telling them what questions he should expect based on the other testimony. Some people like Eric Greitens, and there are those that do. I would say that I hope that all of us at one time in our life can look at someone else the way that Porter Wagoner did Dolly Parton, or the way that this rep does Eric Greitens at this point. It's an interesting. Appreciate the comments. As always, one development you'll hear first. The Postal Service, they have special FBI level investigators that investigate shit with the Post Office. They're now involved in the federal investigation. Two people have confirmed that the Post Office, the FBI has brought in the Postal Service as part of their investigation. So now they have those guys. I mail fraud. I think if you are doing something shady and you look at a mailbox, you may have committed mail fraud. I have no idea what it means, but I can confirm that now they have one of their agents is on the case. So I think the big news of the week is obviously the governor saying you can't release your report on me. I don't know if they'll go to court over, because I don't even know if you can actually sue. I don't think you can actually get a judgment that says, hey, you can't release a report. I don't think the judicial branch can tell the legislative branch, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him try. And again, called it right here. Those are the takeaways from that. Let's talk about Kansas City. Kansas City, what? How? How did you do this? The city of St. Louis does stuff like this. You never do stuff like this. What happened? The airport project, which has been a disaster from the start, They were trying to make people happy whose job it is to complain. I think this is a great lesson for government. Kansas City always has it together. The mayor, just top notch. Kansas City is the city that everybody else talks about they want to be like because they're spot on. But they did this. And I think how they got into this ridiculous dumpster fire of they're already over budget, they're already behind schedule, a project that has very little support that they're just doing now to just try to get done. I think that it's a bad situation. And I think what happened was there were some people that were giving them grief early on. And they tried to make the naysayers happy. And it was a major mistake when they did it. And I think the whole thing, I mean, it's just bad. It's going to be bad. They're going to have to come up with they're going to have to rally just to make it crappy. Because it's not good the way it is right now. Let's talk about some of these races here. The 34th. Wow. I mean, you want to talk about amazing. In the 34th, you have Harry Roberts, the Buchanan County Commissioner, Tony Luchtemeyer, the husband of the general counsel to the governor, and I think a good guy. I met him all the time. Seems like a really good guy. And then you have Representative Nick Marshall of Black County, and then the people that are like, you have to be pro-Republican, the same group of people, they're like, you have to stand up for the Republican right here. There's only what if you don't stand up for Republicans, nothing, the world's going to end. They wouldn't recruit a Democrat to run for Senate to try to sabotage Harry Roberts. The same people that are going around calling legislators, calling senators, and saying, you have to stick behind the Republican. If you say something bad about the Republican governor, you're terrible, and the Watergate and all this crap. If you do that, the same people that are doing that are now went and found a Democrat to run against Harry Roberts. An elected, not even like a theoretical one. Not even a guy that used to have an Obama sticker on his car. An actual elected county official Democrat. So that race is going to be the funnest race. It always has been. Roberts, I think, will raise enough money to be competitive. Luchtemeyer is going to have all the money he needs, both light and dark. Look, I think Luchtemeyer is a good guy, but there's a real, it's a question of, can you show that you're independent from the governor? And I don't know if that's possible or if he even wants to. But to be a good senator, you know, you don't need lemmings from the second floor and the third floor. The big chunk of his campaign, or even if he wins, then in order to be relevant, you got to show that you're not just running errands for the governor. And that would be true if Mike Parson becomes governor in a year and somebody runs and that it's in his administration. I mean, I think most people that know Tony Luchtemeyer like him. They think he's a smart guy, well-meaning guy. But, I mean, obviously he walks in with two strikes against him on most things because in politics, if you're going to be a loyal member of a team, you better be at the head of that team. It's like the House. If they were just to do what the governor told them to do, it's good to be, you know, living in a what Bush say, it's fine to live in a dictatorship if you're the dictator. You have John Ashcroft that he weighed in for Harry Roberts. That was a clear sign. I mean, keep in mind, the Republican Party fights go back 10, 20 years. I don't think he's ever been tight with the St. Joseph clique of people. You have the Herzog group, obviously heavily all over the situation. There's battle lines that are being drawn. I think on one side you have Harry Roberts, other side you have he's essentially running against the governor. We'll see if Luchtemeyer does anything to separate himself. I mean, even if it's cosmetic, probably would do well for him to get out of that situation. Number two, Ashcroft being formed. I mean, when John Ashcroft endorsed you in the Republican primary, I would consider that to be a really big deal. We'll see how much that goes on the money front. He's got some good guys helping. I think most of the senators are probably inclined to at least the ones that will get involved will support Harry Roberts. And then we'll see this Democrat guy. I don't know. I mean, that looks shady. It looks way shadier now than it did then because it's the same argument. Oh, you can't, you know, Democrats are bad. Oh, this prosecutor, because she's a Democrat, is awful. Well, you just recruited a guy that's an elected Democrat. So it cuts against that. I saw some numbers in the 20 in Wheelands District in Jeff County. Republicans have played this game and they won seats on it. I remember back in the day when they were picking up seats, you go to Jeff County, you go to St. Charles County, and you would recruit pro-labor Republicans. They were right on taxes, schools, abortion, guns, but they were pro-labor. Now you've seen that some of those districts have elected guys that now have went to and women that went to anti-labor. And I think labor unions have gotten a real good habit nationally. They were voting The national mood took them to the Republican side. Guns, abortion, taxes, all the things. Law and order took them to the Republican side. And they were electing people that are like, well, we're not going to mess with your union. You're good. Don't worry about that. Now they have to worry about it. And so I think what you're seeing in Jeff County is the numbers reflecting they were electing Republicans for other reasons and assuming they wouldn't actually take a shot at their union. Now they're taking shots at their union. That's going to be a real race. Butler's not. He's ran twice. He beat Vescovo's beat him twice. I think Jeff County is a problem if they don't move. If they don't move the right to work vote, I think it's a real problem for Republicans. I think Vescovo may be the only. We'll do the tip sheet. Will come out on the 15th, 16th. I think he may be the only Republican favored to win, and that's he'll raise plenty of money. He's a good candidate, but Jeff County's a problem for Republicans, and Paul Whelan's going to have to run a really good race to end up winning. We'll see what happens on there, but watch that right to work vote. If there's one person that wants that right to work vote moved, it would probably be Paul Whelan. That would change that Senate race in a significant way. Down in the 30th in Springfield, wow, I mean, look, here's what I think. I think Lincoln is going to be probably one of the best post-term limit senators in the history of the state. I think he's set up to do extremely well in the Senate. I think he raises money, and watch the reports. One way you can tell a politician that's on his game is you can raise money in your district if you're in Springfield, let's say. There's no reason not to have a bunch of Springfield addresses on there. Lincoln Huff raises tons of money, and he raises tons of money from Springfield. So I think I think Crystal Quaid, look, I think she's got to look at it. I sure do. I mean, she's a very talented person. I kind of get the sense that she may be minority leader. She will be the Democrats have some talent in that freshman class, but you don't want to like happen like in 93 when Carnahan came in. He took several members out of that House class and put them in state government, in the executive branch. And it the special elections, the Republicans picked up a lot of it. It's kind of got it within striking distance. And you lost some pretty, like Joe Driscoll, really smart guy, added a lot to that caucus. You lost him. I think you start seeing, you saw Cora Faith Walker run for re-election. I think that helps that freshman class to stick together. You've seen that they have an impact, they have some energy, they've done well legislatively for the supermajority they set in. Let's see if they can actually turn that into winning seats. Nobody knows. The national move's going to help them. You have to pick up some of these seats just because the national winds will blow differently. I think that if I had to predict now, it seems to me like she'd probably take a pass on the Senate race, but look, she's got it figured out. I mean, we'll all remember from the Todd Akin saga, you can get off the ballot after the primary, and the committee will pick. And she is in a very enviable position for her to be able to sit back and wait and get to test the waters. I think the date's September. So early September, she'll get a chance to look at that and see. And really, if you're her, she's got some opponents on the Republican side. If you're her, you're going to run pretty much the same campaign for state rep as you are state senate. You can do all the things to get visible, which she's very good at being visible in Springfield. So you can do all the things you would normally do for a Senate campaign. You're probably going to be doing for your House race anyway. And I think Lincoln Huff will run hard. And, you know, it's my take. I would say Link is still favored. But, yeah, I mean, she'll be a tougher opponent than Charlie Knorr, who's a good guy. But I think I would bet you that the mood isn't there. And keep in mind, Donald Trump has a way of pulling stuff out that changes the dynamic, and he may do that again this time. So watch the show Sunday morning. Always great for that. Check out the Missouri Times. I have a sense it's going to be a very eventful couple days in Missouri politics. If that does turn out to be the case, you can bet we'll come back. Oh, also, opening day. I know tough loss last night, but wait, you know, it's one of those things where if your shortstop makes three errors, you lose the game, and Ozzie Smith's coming off the disabled list next week. You have a problem. You have a solution to the problem. Your closer tried to extend him more than one inning. He blows the ninth inning. You do have a guy down in Palm Beach right now, Greg Holland, coming out. So I'm optimistic, but it's opening day in St. Louis. I mean, it should be a state holiday. The legislature did two things. They should ban the DH and make opening day a state holiday. Thank you very much. I'm Scott Fond. Appreciate you watching, and we will see you Sunday on This Week in Missouri Politics. Oh, and if you want to keep up with Capitol events, MissouriTimes.com. But if you want to keep up, you want the calendar? We're doing a calendar now. So contact Rachel about the calendar, and I'm totally going to blame all the technical difficulties on her. So contact her, we'll send her your email if you want to know what's going on when. And that's especially true in the Capitol now, but you're going to notice things are going to be a little quiet for a while. because the last weeks of the legislative session are stressful anyway. Next week, obviously, is going to throw a whole wrinkle in that. But in the summertime, when there's events, if you're just a casual watcher, that you may I always find it's interesting. A lot of folks know about these events; they don't know for sure. So email her, keep informed. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thank you, Twitter. Thank you, Facebook. I don't know.